America has brought about has become too much for Islam. It can't manage it. It can't keep it in right balance. It can't save the society from the bad negative influences of all this wealth. So the society is getting sicker and sicker. And this new movement here, the movement of truth, is a movement against the whole world. Now let's go and look at a sign that is in the Bible of the new world that is to come. God brought about a flood when he was dissatisfied with the whole world. It's called the flood of Noah. And that flood drowned out, according to the scripture, all the life of earth, except a few that were saved in the ark. And those few that were saved in the ark, they went out when the conditions permitted it and repopulated the world. It was a flood. What kind of flood was this? It was the rising up of water. Now we know what flood water does. Brings about diseases. Water that comes down from heaven is pure. But if it comes down too much and breaks its boundary, go over into areas where it shouldn't be, get over into Satan's hands and into his home, when it's poured back out in our society as flooding water, it pours and diseases the society. Is that right? Even the mountaintop. What does this mean? It means that even the government leaders, even the established institutions of learning, the knowledgeable leaders, they all were affected by this flooding of the earth. What does the book say again? It says, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Right. So the book tells us, as it was in Noah's day, it's going to be in the end of the world. We're in the end of the world. And we have seen the flood. What kind of flooding is this? This is a flooding that is not brought about by the corrupting of revealed knowledge that came down back down naturally. Corruption of this truth through ignorance. See, the people through their own ignorance corrupt God's truth. Right. But this one here will be done by the mind. The book says that the serpent spit out a flood of water to drown the woman and her child. Right. The woman there is symbolic of the religious society of the church. Right. The serpent spit out that flood of water to drown the religious society. Now we know that this same serpent is also called beast and dragon. And the dragon is seen spitting out fire. Is that right? But his fire is not the fire of God, not the fire that burns up falsehood. It's the fire that burns up truth. Do you understand? But this God has designed his world so that nothing is completely lost. What you burn up goes right back into the cycle. And in time, God brings it back in any form he chooses. Right. Is that right? So the serpent's fire is not strong enough to destroy the truth forever. He will only make the truth fragment. He will fragment the truth and throw a piece out there and a piece out here and make it impossible for us to see the whole picture. But in time, God will bring about a natural condition that will bring the truth back home to the people. The book, the Holy Quran, speaks of a timepiece, a sa'at. It says that God gives from his sa'at. Sa'at means what? What? A timepiece. It means that God's graces, God's gift to the people is not subject to your timing. He has his own timepiece. The world may deny the poor, the ignorant, and the weak, and give them bits of knowledge, bits of truth, as they see. see fit to give it out to them, and keep them in a state of starvation so that they can never get stranded. But God says in the Holy Quran, I have my own timepiece for giving out gifts to the people. And when my time come around, I give out my gifts, and you can't stop it. So what is God telling us? That he has ordained, that there is a natural movement. You may come up today and lie to the people. You may seduce the whole world to become your slave. But there is a natural thing working in the world, and pretty soon the Gentiles will reach their fullness, and the end of the world will come about. And when that time comes, nothing can stay the hand of death that is coming against the wicked. And nothing can hold back the grace of God that is coming for the poor, those who have been deprived. We have reached that day and time. This is the day. This is our day. This is a new earth. And there's a new heaven. The same old heaven is not around here anymore. The old heaven was a selfish heaven, a hypocritical heaven, a heaven that had the jewels of God. But they decked themselves with it and threw nothing but rust out to the people. But this heaven is a heaven like the heaven that was preached by the prophets of Almighty God. It is a heaven that rains down its purity upon the earth. And signs tell us that with rain come also nitrate. The lightning in the sky brings about nitrate in the rain. And when the raindrop hits the world, the earth doesn't only get water, but it gets nitrogen, it gets nitrate that brings about food for the growth of the life. So from heaven come both water and food. I'm teaching you science. You who don't remember it, I'm going to refresh your mind. Science tells us that not only raindrops fall, but with every raindrop there's a bit of nitrate. And nitrate is the food that feeds the growth of life in the earth. So this is a sign that Almighty God, in his own good time, he will rain down from the natural heaven water that feeds the thirst that is in our hungering human makeup, but also nitrate to bring about the social building up, to bring about the community building up that we need to have decent homes and decent clothes and decent food. Is that right? The book said he locked up the heaven. The book said he caused the darkness to come over the heaven. The book says that he caused a famine to come over all the world. He said not a famine of food, but a famine of hearing the word of God. So it tells us that the world will be preaching around here. Preachers will be preaching. Rabbis will be preaching. Imams will be preaching. But their words will be nothing but empty air. There's nothing but blabble, bubble, bubble, blabble. You understand? And that's what we've come to see. We've come to see a religious world, a rabbi, priest, an imam, that have done nothing but spit out wind in the air. No word entered our ear. If it had, it would have reformed, transformed our bodies. But our bodies remain in poverty. They remain in darkness, the darkness of ignorance. Remain in the sickness of moral disease. Is that right? Because no food from the mouth of God entered the ear and went into the body. It was nothing but wind. The book said, my people, they have been travailing to give birth to a child, but have let out nothing but wind. And this is what we've lived to see, a religious world that have been doing nothing but breaking wind and calling it the word of God. Bring the earth and put it in the place where heaven was. And when the world. Science has given us more materials than we can use. Politics has given us more government than we need. But religion has given us nothing but a bunch of broke wind. Now, I'm not speaking against you. I'm speaking against that gave birth to you. Now, let's look at the scripture and see the responsibilities that is placed upon the religious leadership. God didn't leave it to worldly men to defend the rights of the poor. He sent religious teachers to defend the rights of the poor. God didn't leave it to the world to give the people some kind of compensation for their labor. He didn't leave it to the world to do that. He sent religious leaders to teach charity. But if a man is not justly compensated for his labor, then the religious leadership is to go out and speak for him and encourage charity among those who are denying him his paycheck. Is that right? This is the religious leadership. But our world, the religious world, until today, we're changing now. Not only the lost foundation of Islam, there's many live forces in the new world life that are coming together. The Nation of Islam is just out in the forefront, on top of the world. And I repeat, we are out in the forefront, we are on top of the world. Good elements have been working together to bring about an end of the old world and the bringing in of the ushering in of the new world. We would like to see taxes take care of the problem. We would like to see the next president. And discrimination, racism. Where are you, Pope? The West has been more in the Pope's hand than it has been in the hands of anybody else. So I ask, where are you, Pope? If you on the world and look over the valley and rule from above. mountain and send that material wealth back down in the valley so the valley will have some of it. So I ask, where is the leadership? I'll tell you where it is. It's right here on this platform. That's where the world religious leadership is. Those who stayed in their churches today, stayed in the dens of darkness, the dens of Satan. Those who stayed in their synagogues today, stayed in the dens of Satan.
Hold hold your seat for one moment. Please, all your brothers and sisters, please comply to the request that was just made. Please hold your seat for further notice. Thank you.
This time,
those of you that are present, will you please be generous, be charitable, and help us promote this program financially? Some of you have already given, and we would like for all of you that are present today, please give more.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to dismiss formally, and I'm going to call forth our beloved brother, Donnell Kareem. Would you please hold your places where you are? He's going to dismiss with prayer. So you please hold your places where you are.
How did you like our chiefs, brothers and sisters? Beautiful, beautiful. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. He is the biggest. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, please prepare for prayer.
Senator Willie Brown from San Francisco.
We also have here in the podium with us a state senator from the 30th District, Senator Nate Holden. Please, the believers, would you please remain behind? Then our visitors are leave, but you remain behind.
Professor, Assalamu alaikum. Brothers and sisters, we are still hooked up to the region, but before we close out completely, I think we are blessed with an honored guest from Chicago. But he's just not an honored guest from Chicago, but he is one that comes from among us, so to speak. He's a brother who we all love and a brother who has been strongly representing the chief minister all around the world today. Brothers and sisters, that is our minister, Abdul Halim Farrakhan. But yeah, he's a beautiful brother. He's a beautiful brother. And I'd just like to say on behalf of our beloved minister, Ali Rashid, who is the regional minister, and also the minister here at Malcolm Shabazz Mosque, that we want him to know when he comes back that we definitely took care of natural business. That the mosque is filled, and we had guests today, and there are people downstairs all over the place. And he wants to be known, he wanted to be known, I'm sure, that when we get a guest from Chicago, from the chief minister, then he wants us to be sure to take care of that guest. Any guest that comes in from Chicago or anywhere, he wants to see to it that we take care of our guests properly. So brothers and sisters, I'm not going to waste no more time on the air. Let's welcome and receive our brother with warm rounds of applause and sincerity, Minister Abdul Halim Farrakhan.
Welcome home,
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, peace and blessings upon His servant and His messenger Muhammad forever. Ameen. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Assalamu alaikum. To Brother Minister Ali Rashid, Brother Captain Ali, Brother Secretary Bakreddin, Sister Instructress Eunice, members of the ministry and the staff, and brothers and sisters of the FOI and MWDC, all our visitors and guests. It's a great honor for me to be here this afternoon. I'm so sorry that I just got the last few words of our beloved leader and teacher. But I think we got the most important words, that we should wash each other's feet. You look so wonderful. And it's a pleasure to see you looking so well. And you know what the chief minister said about a year ago this time? He said that the light might go dim for a while, but it will come up brighter, and it will be brighter than it was. And I bear witness that he knew what he was talking about. I don't come here this evening to do any teaching or to prolong the time or wear on your patience. But if I could leave you with any words, I would leave you with these words from the Holy Quran. There are two passages that mean a lot to us in this great time of transition. One from a section, hard trials are necessary to establish truth.
Yes, sir.
A man can't come to God on an easy road. Almighty God, in His wisdom, never presents Himself to us until we have undergone trial, tribulation, and the rigors of life. And out of His mercy, He may show us His face. I can understand now, more than ever before, why no man can show God to another man. If I have an experience with God, I can only tell you my experience, but I can't show you God. You say, well, you tell me where God is? Yes. Can't you tell me what God is? Who God is? Maybe. I heard the chief minister say recently, if I were to tell you what I know of God, you would still be where you are. I went home and I thought about that. And Allah blessed me with this bit of understanding. The Holy Quran gives us the name of God, Allah. The Holy Quran gives us the attributes of God. 99 and the 100th is Allah. The Holy Quran gives us the field in which you're going to find Allah, which is the pure wisdom of His book. And then He challenges you and I now to toil and labor for Him. For if God presented Himself to someone who really wasn't seeking Him and didn't know how to appreciate Him if He manifested Himself, then he would be wasting His valuable presence. So He wisely hides Himself and makes every soul yearn for Him, seek Him, cry for Him, plead for Him, study on Him. And after you go through trial and tribulation, He begins to make you know that I'm very real. I exist, but you still can't see my face. I'm hiding from you because I want you to grow to me. I'm not the first stage. I'm in all stages, but when you meet me, you... I mean, when you're going through it, it's rough. I mean, you wonder sometimes why God ordained this kind of stuff. Times get so hard, brother and sister, you wish for death. Look like death would be a comfort just to get out of the struggle. But Allah said, uh-uh. I made you to face your difficulties, not run from them. I made you to face trials and overcome your difficulties. And I'm so happy and pleased to look at you and see my brothers and sisters as you look at me. We are trying to overcome difficulties to reach the other side, that Master Elijah Muhammad, may peace be upon him, heralded us to. But it wasn't for him to take us over. Two more points. He taught us about a mother plane. And he taught us that mother plane was 40 miles high. And it had on it 1,500 deadly bombing planes. He also said to us that Master Farad said to him that I will walk up a mountain
40 miles high,
each one person. We never understood until today. Thanks to Allah for the chief minister. The mountain 40 miles high to bring one represents 40 years of laboring in this mountain of financial power as he carried us up the mountain, 40 miles up to the mother plane. The mother plane doesn't represent an airplane. It represents a plane of knowledge.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Master Elijah Muhammad used to say to us, everything that's down here is also up there. What he was trying to say to us, we were trying to envision buildings up on it, grass and cows, and we just got the picture. But now the chief minister can give us the wisdom. The picture is that on that mother plane, that high level of divine knowledge, you have everything on that level that you have down here below. The only difference is that is a godly level. They have entertainment on that level, but it's a godly entertainment. They have food, clothing, and shelter, but it's not the aim and aspiration of a man's life. He only uses it to satisfy a physical need while he toils and labors for God on that level. On that level, he's not bothered by the pursuits of a materialistic life. On that level, his goal is the hereafter. Prophet Muhammad was 40 years old when he got the revelation of this book. He toiled in Arabia, suffered, and he was sincere. So out of the darkness of a cave, God revealed to him this book. 40 years in America in the wilderness, the nation of Islam toiled. And out of sincere longing, God blessed one from among us to get a hand on that mother plane. The book of wisdom that will mother us into a high civilization. And now each of us that spin out from this book of light and knowledge and power are little planes like this plane. And when we drop the bombs of divine wisdom from that high altitude on a world of falsehood and evil, we bring up mountains. It hits the ear and it drills right on down into the conscious, down into the subconscious, and produces an explosion in the being of the individual. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. There are no mountains equal. There are some mountains very high, some lower. There's no equality in the mountain ranges. But the bombs that fall from that mother plane bring up mountains a mile high. Every bomb brings up a mountain a mile high. When you give truth from this mother plane of knowledge, the Holy Quran, everyone that comes up to that truth, the mile high, as Honorable W.D. Muhammad teaches us, represents equality. When we come up to this knowledge on this plane, we live a life of equality. On the plane below, we cater to the rich, we cater to the powerful, and trample on the poor. But on this plane, all valleys are exalted and all mountains are made low, so that we all walk together in equality in the circle of divine brotherhood. But in order to reach that plane, we got to climb the mountain.